Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministries. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in tonight. Let us all pray together, my friends, before we begin our tonight's lesson. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that the message that you have given your servant to preach tonight will be your words, Lord, not mine. We say this in the name of Jesus. We all pray. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight we're going to talk about baptism and why is it important for you and I as believers to have this within our lives. And let me read this verse in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. Therefore, sailing from Taurus, we ran a straight course to Sophras, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony we were staying in that city for some days. And on the seventh day, we went on of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. We sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Sarai, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed things spoken by Paul. And then she and her household were baptized. She begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She constrained us. Now, why was she, if she believed in the Lord, why was she then begging them to stay? And why was she baptized in her whole household? Well, the reason why she was baptized is because that is what is required of us when we open our hearts to Jesus. And that is true. We become a new creature, Christ. No more are we that old person who we once were. We are now a new creature, now walking in a different life. We are now a new person. Now, I like to bring up an example I heard from my nephew. He went to a conference weeks ago. And he came up with a pretty good story about baptism. He talked about this Danish man who traveled overseas. And while on vacation, he met a medium. And this medium was telling him all this stuff that no one could possibly have known. And he told him about the death of a good friend of his. He named the day and the time when his friend died. Well, for this man, he was very mournful. He was saddened by the death. When he came back to his country and came back to the town that he was, that he lived in, out of the blue, he saw his dead friend, who, by the way, was not dead at all. He told his friend this, and his friend was amazed that why would he believe he was dead? Why would he believe a medium for? But what caught the friend's attention was that the day and the time that the medium said he died, because the day and time supposed to have been dead was the day and time that he was baptized. You see, the demonic world at one time knew this man was lost and knew who he was, but lost their contact with him and knew who he was when he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, let us not in the church call baptism a symbol. For if it was a symbol, it would really do nothing. The only thing we're doing is getting ourselves wet when our pastor or lay pastor or leader of the church or a fellow Christian dunks us into the water to be baptized. Baptism is more than that. It's saying to the world that you're dying. You're going down to the tomb like Christ did. And when you come up, you are now a new creature through Jesus Christ. No more are you that person whom you once were. Now you are alive again. You were lost, but now you are found. And now you are part of the house of the Lord. You are sin-free. Sin has no dominion in your life no more. And now you can live sin-free, free from the chains of sin that I kept you a slave. Now you're walking in freedom, the freedom of Jesus Christ that he has brought to you. And if the demons in hell know the importance of baptism, we in the church should know it too, because it is not a symbolic thing. It is a part of the process of acknowledging that you're now dying for Christ and you want to be a new creature in Christ and you want to be born again. And that's what you do now. I know some people may ask about, well, what if you're on your deathbed and you come to Christ, like the man on the cross did who was next to Jesus? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a deathbed confession or the man dying on the cross with Jesus. Yes, I do believe that if someone really gave their heart to Jesus at the end of their life, yes, they'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit upon when they give their last breath, like the man on the cross next to Jesus did. And he said, remember me when you get into your kingdom, never expecting to be forgiven for our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, he was forgiven. And the Lord forgave this man of his sins. Okay, amen, amen. Now, what I'm talking about is you live in your everyday to day life. Yes, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit, but the water comes with it, with cleanliness. So, if you ever notice throughout the book of, if you look at the book of Acts, people are being baptized when they accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Now if you turn with me now to Acts, turn to Acts chapter 2, and let's read verse 41. This is after Peter did one of the best sermons in the New Testament. And this is what happened to these people who repented of their sin. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls of what? 3,000 saved souls added to the book of life when they were baptized. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see what I mean? How baptism is important? When you accept Christ Jesus, when you were walking on this earth, it is a good idea to be baptized rather than walking on the earth and saying, well, I accept Jesus as my Lord, but I'm not going to be baptized. Well, you have to be, because you have to go through the baptism to receive His Holy Spirit within you. Again, am I talking about someone who is just dying and gets an epiphany that Jesus is Lord and wants to accept Him right there? That's a different story. I'm talking about your day-to-day life, because if God recommends that you and I get baptized, we get baptized. When Jesus walked upon this earth, He didn't even talk about the importance of being baptized, because being baptized, that you and I were becoming a new creature in Him. Okay? Amen? Amen. Well, even Paul himself. What happened to Paul? When he accepted Christ as his Savior, he was baptized. And remember, he was blinded when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. But after his baptism, it is said, like scales coming from his eyes, he could see again. But also, he had spiritual scales that came off of him, where he felt the Lord Jesus Christ within his heart. And with that, Paul became a different man. Remember what happened when Peter called to the house of Cornelius. Remember when he had that dream about Cornelius? Actually, he had a dream about unclean food. And Jesus told him in the dream when he had cleansed, he could eat, which meant that he was called to go into Cornelius' house. Remember, an angel of the Lord came to Cornelius and told him to contact Peter. And he sent one of his men, Cornelius did, to go to Peter's house to find him. And Peter told him about Christ Jesus. And what happened to Cornelius? This whole household was baptized, was he not now? Well, baptism is an important thing. It's not a symbolic thing. The apostles never said it was a symbolic thing. Jesus never told you and I it was a symbolic thing. It's really not a thing at all. It's what we have to do to have Jesus, to have Him come into our hearts through His Holy Spirit. Because cleanse people then. We are a new creature in Christ after we have been baptized. Case in point, my friend. When we try to legalize and try to act like we know better than God about what baptism is, how many people have we have known who follow away from the Lord as quickly as they've been baptized, and yet they've been baptized when they went to another denomination, and baptized when they went to another denomination, and nothing's happened to them? Because in their hearts, they didn't go in there to die with Christ, because so many times in the church have been saying, it's a symbolic thing. If you're going into the water believing that you're doing this as a symbolic thing, you're going to come out of that water as the wet sinner who you once were. So I should say, a wet lost person. Because that's what you are, is a wet lost person. Now, I'm not talking against people who want to rededicate their hearts, or already have the Holy Spirit within them, and they feel that they want to rededicate themselves to Jesus, because they remember how it was the first time they were baptized, and they did it for the Lord. Talking about that, I'm talking about someone who said they were saved and kept on being baptized in every denomination they've gone to. My friend, you don't have to be rebaptized if you already have the Holy Spirit living within you, number one. Number two, you don't have to think of being baptized as a symbolic thing. Being baptized is a supernatural thing. And for you who know who happens, you know a change has happened within your heart. You feel a real happy presence within you. Do you agree? You really do. But for those who don't, I would say it's because your denomination has been telling you that your baptism is a symbolic thing. Sometimes your denomination may say, if you came from another church, that your baptism didn't really take because you came from that other church. Well, just say you were baptized and you felt the Holy Spirit within you, and someone's telling you, oh, you have to be baptized with my denomination to make it actually legal with God. And then you go ahead and do it. Well, my friend, if you felt that God was already within you after you were baptized, it means that God was actually with you. And this Holy Spirit's already living within you. No denomination shouldn't be putting planks and more planks and more planks upon your back and say, if you don't follow all these rules we put on you, you cannot be truly saved. So just say, if you felt something in your heart, you felt the Holy Spirit coming within you when you were baptized, if you are Catholic, then you are baptized. Same thing if you are a Baptist. Because if we're one body of Christ, a title to what denomination you happen to be in does not matter. But what matters is if you believe and you feel like a new creature and you feel the Holy Spirit's living within you, then you know the supernatural has happened to you, that you are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. No more are you that old person who you once were. No more are you that creature that was once lost from God. You are now God's child, and God is now your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins so we could have these blessings in our lives, so we could have the fellowship of knowing our Heavenly Father. Now, let me explain another thing about the relationship with the Father in heaven that we should have. I heard someone try to say how God was selfish, but God is arrogant. They believe this because they believe that God created mankind and all the universe and his angels and demanded that these angels and the humans he created and all creation had to bow down and worship him. And he thought that was arrogant of God. And how dare God ask us to create us, and we have to follow him and we have to worship him. But read the New Testament, read the four Gospels, when you hear Jesus' teaching. Jesus always referred to God as the Father, did he not now? Right? I'm sure when Adam walked the earth, that's what he called God too, Father. God is our Father. And the thing of it is, if you look, the best thing to describe it, for you being parents out there, you run your children's life, you basically raise your children's life, do you not now? Yes, you do. You have authority over your children within your house, in your home, or when you're out in public. Do you not now? Yes, you do. Because it would be foolish to let your children run your household, would it not now? Because there's a lot of mistakes your children can make without you teaching them. And you can see why so many children, when they are not taught by their parents the right way, something happens to them. They fall away. They become a confused person, and they can't get themselves into a lot of trouble, or they can become a better person once they're growing up, because if they don't have one or two parents in their life to influence them, to mold them, can't happen to them. Now, if one of the parents takes an interest in them and really raises them, more than likely, that child will grow up to be decent. But I'm talking about, what if two parents decide not to take it, give their child love, and you'll find something messed up in that child? Sometimes, if a father doesn't tell a son that he loves them, you find one day a young man being disturbed one day. And that is because of the fact that they don't have that relationship with their father, or perhaps even with their mother. Created things to be just like he created everything. God created the angels. He created everything. He created you and I. And why do we call him Father? Because God is the head of our household. Yes, God is the head. He leads. And since no one created God, God cannot call anyone else Father. The only one who could call him Father in the heavenly realm is Jesus, because God himself took part of himself and became a man. And that man part called God Father. And if you notice his relationship with the Father, he talked to him normally as you would talk to your own earthly fathers. Would you not now? And that is correct. God, through Jesus, we understand what's in God's heart. We understand that God doesn't want us to worship him like the demons want to be worshipped, where we bow down and say, oh, God, I'm chanting to you. He wants your heart. He wants a relationship with you as his child. But he also understands, because when Adam went along with the satanic rebellion, by not listening to him, sin came into the world. But yet, God did not give up on his children, did he not now? God made you and I into his image. And by making you and I into his image, he had a plan about how to redeem us. But yet, and like in any home we have, I hear I am picking on the ones who failed in their parenting, and children have a generational curse. But what if someone came from a Christian household? They worship the Lord, but yet we went out in the world and they fell away from the Lord. We know that happened, which Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, because we assume that the father raised his boys to know the Lord, but yet the one son loved the world and went out and did the things of the world. And when he realized what he'd done, he repented from what he did and even told his father that he sinned against his father and the Lord. But the father forgave him. And that can happen within a Christian household as well, where your children can fall away from the Lord after you raise them right to follow him. But the good news is you have that seeding within them, but they can come back to the Lord, can they not now? Right? Keep on praying for them. But that's why God had to come down as a man to redeem us, because mankind love the evilness that the world offered them. They love the sin more than the Lord, and they did what was in their heart. And yet, without the Lord trying to get them back, there was no hope for the world. That's why Jesus had to come to the world, to bring us hope. For anyone who chooses to be with the Lord has to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. For those who want to love the world more, they have that choice as well. Does it break God's heart that they still reject him? Yes, but he still loves them anyway. And while they're still alive on this earth, the redemption that Jesus offers to bring them home is still out there. His hands and arms are still out there to bring them home. So that is the way of saying, my friend, by baptism, it's not a symbol. It is a supernatural thing that you and I have to go through. being baptized is an important part that we have to do when we become saved. And I'm not, and the thing of it is, this is not my opinion. This is what we read throughout the book of Acts. Do we not know? Every time someone accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are baptized. We know of when Paul was in jail and when the earthquake came and the guard and the man who was running the jail thought his prisoners had escaped and he was going to be killed anyway for their escape, and he was ready to kill them and kill himself. But Paul told him there was no need for him to kill himself because everyone in the jail cell still remained. And Paul talked to the man who ran that jail cell as he accepted Christ as his Savior. Paul didn't say, well, I'm glad you accepted Christ, and if you want to be baptized, you can. If you don't want to be baptized, you don't have to, because being baptized is a symbolic thing. He never said that. We know that Paul rebaptized followers of John the Baptist, because during the time when John the Baptist was baptizing people, he was baptizing people in the Old Testament doctrine. When the New Testament doctrine came, it all changed. And for them to be born again, they had to be rebaptized. That was the only time you'll ever see in the Bible where someone was rebaptized. Because remember, when Christ walked upon the earth, the Holy Spirit wasn't given to people who believed in him. Because right there, you saw him in the flesh. If you wanted counsel by him, you went there and talked to him. You didn't need the Holy Spirit to give you the counsel that Jesus would bring to you. You see what I mean? When the Master went back to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit had to take his place upon the earth to continue the ministry by living within us. So when we need counsel from Jesus, we have his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right there to give you and I counsel so we can understand what he wants us to do and why when we read Scripture, we read it and we get his counsel right here from the Word of God. And right there, we get his counsel and we understand what his word means through the Holy Spirit. Now, what I was talking about before was Paul and Silas in the prison. It's on chapter 16. You can read verses 16 through 34. And remember, the reason why I'm mentioning that, because I just talked about this, and I want you to come back to the scripture and read for yourself. Because, my friends, you have to understand why baptism is important for us. It's not a symbolic thing, and we in the church should not teach it as a symbolic thing. Everything that we read in the Bible is important. Our salvation is not symbolic, is it not? Of course it's not. Our salvation is real because we know who the Lord is. And think about this. Even to my Jewish friends out there who still today deny Jesus as Lord and as the Messiah that was prophesied in the Torah, which we call the Old Testament in Christendom. Without Jesus, you have to admit that people who were born of the Gentile world would not know any of the stories within the Torah. They would not know Adam and Eve. They would not know David. They wouldn't know Moses. They wouldn't know Daniel. They wouldn't know anything that was of God. In fact, they wouldn't even know what being separated from God means. Remember, I believe it was in Isaiah, when Zion will be the light for the Gentiles. And for you out there, you have to admit that Jesus has been a light for many of the Gentiles out there, and because of his light, we know who David is. We know who Adam and Eve are. We know of the Ten Commandments. Because of Jesus, do you think any Christian today would be fighting to keep the Ten Commandments on the courthouses? Do you actually believe the Ten Commandments would be put in our houses of Congress or in the Supreme Court building? Of course not. Because if not for Christ Jesus, the Gentiles would still be a pagan people. Am I correct, my Jewish friend? That is correct. Yes, I know I got off the subject a little bit, but the fact of it is, coming to my point, that why Jesus is so important, even for you, my Jewish friend, because he is the Messiah who is yet to come. And it was also in the book of the Torah, and it mentioned that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Messiah would be born of a virgin. If we believe in the supernatural things that God has done, we have to believe that Christ was born of a virgin. And baptism is also supernatural. If we who believe Christ was born from the Virgin Mary, we must believe in the supernatural of baptism as well, too, my fellow Christians, because it is very important. We do not become born again from flesh, but we do become born again through the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit that you and I are born again. We are new, and that's when we grow. And that's when we grow. Fun growing, my friend. And let us feel free when we're baptized. And let us keep on walking with the Lord. Because it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we walk through Him. But He moves us, because we are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you happen to want to walk with Jesus and want to be rebaptized again as a dedication, go right ahead. But I'm just saying this, my friend, that if you walk with Christ, you really don't need to be baptized again, because you've already been baptized. Rededication, I have nothing against that. But again, you already all washed clean. I'm talking about those who've never been baptized, who've been told by their denomination in their churches that don't bother being baptized, because it's merely a symbolic thing. You can live your life without being baptized, which, well, you can live your life, but you haven't done that one thing the Lord wants you to do, is be baptized. To make that full commitment to Him, you have to be baptized to feel His supernatural love and Holy Spirit come within you, and if that happens, you're free. Okay? And the importance of baptism, as I went through the scriptures with you all, is very important, because we see every time the apostles brought someone to Christ, they baptized them. Right? And in many places, they baptized not only the person that wanted the Lord, like Cornelius did, or like Lydia did, because we know Lydia and Cornelius were probably people of wealth. They had servants living in their house. Perhaps they were slaves, which they probably would have had back then. But yet, when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, their whole household listened to the Word too, and wanted what their master wanted. And their whole house was baptized. Their family members, their slaves, everyone in the house was baptized and was born again anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it, my friend. When we are baptized, we are free. It is a super natural thing. It cleanses us. As the story that my nephew told me about the demon through this medium saying that this man's friend had died. Yes, to the demons he died because the man came to life again. They had no more control over that man's life. They could not see that man as he once was, because he wasn't. He was reborn. And on that day, for the demon, that man died because he had no more control over his life. Now, he was free. He wasn't walking with the world anymore. The man's friend was not demon-possessed. I want to make that point, but I'm saying if you walk in the lost world, so have the demons know who's out there who's lost, and they know those who are out there are saved. And when you become saved, they know they have no influence over you anymore because now you're walking with the Lord. That's why within the church, we should never allow what the world says to influence what we teach among us as Christians. What we should be focusing on is what's in the Bible. We know how to behave as a church because the apostles wrote the letter. Read Paul's letter. Read the letters of Peter. Read the letters of Jude. Read John. Read everything that is in the New Testament. Read the book of Acts. If you want to understand how to walk with Christ after you are baptized and how your church should be behaving, do you accept him as your Lord and Savior? It's right here. And if your church isn't acting that way, then you go church hunting and you find a church that walks in that light that Jesus offers to you and I, who walks the way the apostles taught the church how to walk. I'm not dismissing the Old Testament, though, because for you and I to understand God's heart, we have to accept Jesus as our Savior. And for you to accept Jesus as your Savior, read the four Gospels. If you want to start with the shortest chapter of the four Gospels in Mark, go right ahead. If you can find Jesus in there, amen to you for that. Read the four Gospels and study it. If you see the love Jesus shown and his heart that he's shown to those who are the outcasts, then you understand God's heart. And you understand that God wants to have that relationship with you, and he wants you to understand that he wants a father and son, the father and daughter relationship with you. He doesn't want this pagan worship that the world says you have to do, like, oh God, I sent a dirty word, I set my child, I'll do all these other things, so I won't have to go to hell. God's not offering you hell. He's offering you salvation. Hell is made for the devil and his demons and people who decide to sin could fall away from him. You and I, God does not like sin whatsoever. And if you happen to reject God, you made your choice that your home will not be with him in heaven because heaven is his home. And heaven is right there. Heaven is his home. And if you choose not to choose him, heaven will not be your home. And that's a fact. And God's not offering you things. If you don't worship me, you're not going to heaven. No. He's offering you a special relationship with him. And that's what he wants, a special relationship with you. He wants to be your father. And like as he created everything, He always made, as he made human beings to be in his image. We should understand how a parental organization is. Where we have the father of the head of their household over their children. And that's how the Lord is over you and I. He is over us because he is the parent. And we have that relationship with him as our parent. And when we sing to him, think about this, my friend. How many of you have sung love songs to your honey bunny, the person you fell in love with? How many of you have sung songs remembering your parent? You talk about your mother's Bible or what your daddy taught you or even about your grandfather. Remember that Randy Travis song about his father? About his grandfather, and he says, and I thought he walked on water. He talked about how he thought his grandfather's hat was like a halo on his head, right? Now, if we don't judge ourselves, for singing love songs to people we fall in love with, or songs about our parents and grandparents, why should we judge anyone for singing a love song to our Lord? Because basically, that is what singing to the Lord is. When we see people singing in church as loud as they can, how much they love the Lord. It's not because they're thinking, well, I'm doing this because the Lord's going to, if I don't do it, the Lord's going to get mad. No. If you don't have it in your heart anyway, it's not going to be in your heart, and God's not going to slap you in the face for not singing your love song to Him, and He's not going to force you to sing a love song to Him. But if you want to sing a love song to Him, you think the Lord's going to turn you down? No, everyone likes a love song, do they not now? So it's a love song about that then? Sure. God made us in His own image. God made us in His own image, did He not now? And when someone sings a love song to us, we like it. Do we not now? Same with the Lord. When we praise music, when we sing hymns to Him, that is our love song to the Lord. And the Lord loves it because He sees what's in our heart and sees how much you love Him. Because you have that relationship with Him. You understand that He's your Father. And that is the whole point of why Jesus died on the cross. So we get to know who the Father is, and He's not some separate entity that's willing to want us when we do something wrong. He wants us to have that. He wants us to know Him. And how do we know God? It's through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who brought the Father into our hearts, who through His Holy Spirit teaches us who the Father is, and we praise Him when we understand more and more about how our Father in heaven loves us. And we sing praises to Him because we understand how He loves us, and we love Him so much, we sing these love songs to Him. And that is why baptism for you and I to do, because we are spiritually dying when we are baptizing. When we are baptized, we are spiritually dying, because no more is that old sin, that old separation, it is gone, and we come up born again. We are now born again. And this time as we were born again, we are now a new creature. A new creature in the Lord. And the Lord sees us as this new creature. And no more are we that old person we once were. We are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. And now we are walking as a new creature. And we're walking, and we have a new relationship with our God, because not only do we see Him as God, we see Him as He truly is. And who is He truly? He is our Father, our true Father, who will never desert us, who will never walk away from us. He is our true Father, who will always be there, and always will be there in our lives, through the hard times and the good times in our lives. He will always be there to counsel us, to help us through our life when there are good times and bad times in our lives. And He promises us, and our Father promises one day that sin will be wiped away from the face of the world, and no tear will be out there, because He'll wipe every tear away, because our Father wants the best for us, and our Father wants that special relationship with us. Our Father knows who we are when we walk with Him, and our Father wants us to always be in His life. Amen. My friends, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for dying for us. And let us all understand what Your baptism is, Lord, that it is not a symbol that the world tells us. It is a supernatural thing, that we are actually being born again through the water and through the spirit of fire that You put within us as we're going down. And we feel that fire coming down into us as we come up from the water, and we feel Your presence, and we sing, "Hallelujah, Lord, I am saved," and "Hallelujah, Lord, I am now a new creature within You, Lord Jesus Christ." Lord God, our Father, make me a house of prayer, and build me up to be more like You each day, Lord. For I praise this in the name of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever and ever. Our friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling in tonight. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life this week, remember to call in on Thursday night. And for you who will be downloading or listening to this program later, thank you, and may you see the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life, and may you have a Father in Jesus, Father God. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, everybody, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your all lives.